regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh rug.
Welcome to episode 111 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
I'm a little groggy and a little sleepy, but I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. I'm good. This episode brought to y'all by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Everything down there is doing well. All of your supply needs or preparedness needs, which we all need to put a little emphasis on, as I just did a YouTube video kind of chronicling the reasons why.
Yeah.
We all need a little bit of something out there. So remember, we have taught you before in previous videos on how you can put back a whole lot of food by buying dry goods. But if you're going to want some meat in there, you're going to want some other things that maybe you can't freeze dry, or maybe you don't have a freeze dryer, you might want to check out Heaven's Harvest. All right. So sorry, I apologize about my voice, y'all. This happens every single time I fast, and I'll get into that in a minute. But if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app where you can listen to all your podcasts over there, and you could also drop a little bit of that Satoshi. Yep, you can drop it to one of your favorite pimps over there. And remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion, because I don't need to offend any more little wokesters out there. All right, so tip of the day. It's one I'm going to recycle because I used it early on, and I'm going to say it again for a whole bunch of reasons, especially in these times, y'all, where everybody is on edge. We have, all of us, have less money than we ever had before in our lifetime. Inflation's through the roof. Heard Michael Snyder from Economic Collapse blog talking about this 99 bag of chips that he used to buy for 99 cents is going up to like $5 in like a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's only going to get worse. We got all kinds of crazy stuff going here and there. We're going to talk about some of it. But the tip I'm trying to give you is apologize immediately. As soon as you know you've done something wrong, or maybe that wasn't your intent, but maybe the person you were saying it to has taken offense to it. And there's a whole story reason as to why you may not understand why you offended that person. But it could be a friend, and it could be a good friend, and you offended them in a massive way and you didn't know it. And then they had the courage, because it's tough on them to even tell you that what you said was offensive to them. But the moment you recognize it, do not make excuses. Apologize immediately. And when I say apologize, I don't mean, hey, I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt. No. Ask for their forgiveness. It is far more powerful. It lays you prostrate to them. It lays you at their feet. And they will respect you more, especially if you really mean it. So it's not enough to just say, hi, I apologize, or I'm sorry. That's acknowledging it to a certain extent. But it's entirely way more powerful if you can say, look, okay, first of all, if you do acknowledge, first, you have to acknowledge it. Whether you know you did it or not, you know that it may have had that effect on that person. Acknowledge that it happened. It may not have been your intent, but at least ask for forgiveness. This is also something I heard Joel Salatin, I bring him up a lot. There's a reason for that, y'all. He's one of the wisest guys I know. In fact, might be in the top two, without a doubt. And he talked about one time he was on, actually, with Joe Rogan one time. He was talking about how it heals you and the person you're apologizing to. Now, he didn't talk about asking for forgiveness, but he was kind of getting on the same thing, where you may have fallen sideways with some people. Now, it might be a person that turned out to be a complete turd and deserved your vitriol. It might be a person that you thought they were one way, and then later on with time, you find out that they turned out to be dishonest. You turned out to be a number of things. Well, you may forgive that person, but you don't necessarily want to open that door up to let them do it all over again. So there's a whole lot to be learned there, y'all, but this is something Just on a personal note, it's something I had to do this week. Good friend, somebody whose opinion I greatly value, and I didn't even know. I had a suspicion that maybe it was a little bit off, but to his credit, he made it known to me that, you know, that there were things out of sorts. So we squared it away, and now I got to believe that our friendship is even tighter. So I'm just going to drop that to you, y'all. That's something I, believe it or not, I learned from my second oldest brother when I was a kid. And I've always tried to use it all throughout my marriage and my time as a dad, my relationships. Now,
you're still a dad.
Well, you know, when you were young, especially, because it was not uncommon for me to go to you and say, when you were little, say, hey, will you forgive me? And I did it. I did it often.
Yeah, I remember.
I did that quite often. I did it with your mom, hoping that would be leading by example. Now, folks, don't get wrapped around the idea that if you do it, it will be contagious, because it isn't. It's at least knowing that you did your end of it. And it goes a long way in the healing. It really does. Not to just say I'm sorry, but to ask for forgiveness. Sorry to beat that dead horse, but honestly, we could all use a little bit more of that in these modern times, especially in these crazy, weird, everybody's on edge kind of times. So there you go. There's your tip of the day, and it has nothing to do whatsoever with the show today. Just needed to point that out. All right, so farm news. We're going to get right into that, son. You just got back. We were going to do the podcast yesterday evening, and then you decided we're not going to do it.
Yeah, because I had been up since like 2:45 that day just to get back. We had been flying literally all day from the other side of the coast up in Portland out to just to get back here. My brother-in-law's wedding was out there this weekend, and I think I've kind of realized something about that area that is not nearly as liberal as we've all been told it was. Like, if you go immediately outside of Portland, there's like MAGA stuff, gun shows or gun stores, all kinds of stuff immediately outside of Portland. I wonder if these liberal hotspots are far smaller than we're told.
I think you're right on so many counts. In fact, a number of others have pointed that as well. And then you find these enclaves. Yeah, they're going to have their spot where they all gather. And they're almost always in cities.
Yeah.
Almost always. And, well, you can take, I mean, any number of cities. I mean, I can't think of a city for the most part that isn't overwhelmingly crowded with people that are very, very much on the left side of the equation. But I hear from a lot of people who are also in there, and they're trying to put together enclaves of their own where they don't have anything to do with that. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I imagine if you had spent time there and you came and, you know, spent more time in the city, because you weren't really there all that long.
No, I was only there for 4 days. And like most of that was outside of the city, but directly outside of it. I would say like Asheville probably bleeds further than Portland does.
Wow.
What I experienced this weekend.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to have you back, son. So
yeah, it's good to be back. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's that, you know, you always, as I said before, you know, like Mark Twain said, you know, travel is fatal to prejudice. Now don't go, when I say prejudice, the definition of it means prejudging. It's not what everybody twisted it into being. Doesn't mean racism. But he says travel is fatal to prejudice. And what he means by that, if you get in more to it, is that he's saying that you can't, and I've said it before in the last video, that when you travel, and you travel often, and a lot of us, he talks about that it's a sore thing on this matter, that most of us don't do enough of it. And because of it, we don't have a charitable view of the world around us, because we just stick in our same little enclaves. We don't get out there. We don't go see anything. You know, and I suspect that's part of the reason why Joel Salatin is so doggone wise. I mean, you're just, every time I'm around him and I get to spend one-on-one time with him, I'm just absolutely captivated by his wisdom.
Yeah.
And you can't help but be from a person who is that well-traveled. Now, yeah, would I like to get to that point someday? Absolutely. But right now, every little step I'm going to take is be within a close range around me right now. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that. All right. So I said my voice was a little jacked up because I'm in a, you know, whenever I'm fasting, right now Mark's about, 40 hours into what was initially going to be a 36-hour fast. A lot of people have written to me and they've started doing it too. But folks, make sure you put get your stuff together. Check out Dr. Mindy. You heard us reference her a while back. Find out some of these little hacks and tricks you can do, like when hunger pangs start. Get some of that German Grolsteiner high mineral content. And I'm not even sure I'm saying it right.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's basically mineral water, high mineral water that comes in a bottle. And so the carbonation gives you it takes away your hunger pangs. And at the same time, dumping a whole lot of minerals in you.
Huh.
So you can do a lot of that. Yerba mate.
Yeah.
Or mat. I don't know how you pronounce
yerba
it.
Yerba mate.
I don't know if it's mate or mat. I heard it say it both ways.
That's tea, though. That ain't carbonated water.
Right. But that's another thing you can do.
Oh, okay.
That will help. You know, that tea is also putting a lot of good stuff in you. But also, it's those little hacks like that or, you know, stretching autophagy a little bit further. I know a lot of people are giving it a shot. And honestly, I think you should. And so now what I've done, I'm using her program where basically I started off that last week doing a 4-2-1. So for 4 days, I basically fast. I'm doing autophagy fasting. I'm fasting for about 18 hours, 16, 18 hours. Could be up to 20. So 4 days out of the week, I'm doing that. 1 day, I'm doing a 24-hour fast. And then 1 day, you pretty much eat what you want. Now, I switched it up to her other program this week, and I'm going to constantly go back and forth, and she tells you the reasons why. So those of you doing that, listen up. This week, I'm doing a 5-1-1, 5 days I autophagy fast, 1 day I fast for 36 hours, and then 1 day you eat what you want. Now, she talks about all the people that get stuck into a fasting routine where you may fast 24 hours a day, or you may just do autophagy fasting every day. And talks about how your body will get used to that routine. And then all the benefits that you were getting from it go away. So you want to switch it up. So what I'm doing is switching from the 4-2-1 to the 5-1-1. And right now I'm in that 5-1-1. So today I decided, okay, on Monday, I meant to eat, but it got so long in the tooth, I was like, oh, forget it, man. I'll just go ahead and do it for 36 hours. So that's where I'm at. By the time it's all said and done and I decide to eat it about noon, it will have been like 42 hours, but who's counting? So anyway, yeah, that's where I'm at right now, y'all. And yeah, so happy fasting out there, y'all. Just do your research on it. There's a lot of cool tricks out there. And even when you're first starting out, things that can prolong your satiety by taking maybe a tablespoon of MCT oil. That helps immeasurably. And then you could drag it out and then next time go a little further. Maybe you don't need the MCT oil. Anyway, that's where I'm at right now. So whole lot of things going on around here. While you were gone, I decided to go ahead. We made the compost extract,
right,
which we did with Dr. Ingham's method, where we did it in a bucket. And you could really stretch that stuff. I mean, if it's really good stuff, you could take 1 gallon and stretch it over an acre.
Right.
But, you know, like everything else, like my bone sauce and everything else, man, I don't like stretching anything out if I don't have to. So I'm leaving it pretty strong. But now I'm making compost tea. Let me explain the difference. Compost extract, you're basically getting the organisms out of the compost and you're using the medium of water to get it down into the soil deep. And you may have to go out there with a broad fork or some way to, if you have really high compaction, you're going to need to find a way to get it down in there. Well, the compost tea and the compost extract is different on this, and it's a little more difficult to make the compost tea. So here's the difference. The compost tea is more meant as a foliar spray. So when we take this compost extract or even compost, we stick it on the surface sun, what's happening? We're getting those microbes down into the soil, right?
Right.
And what's the relationship between the plant and that compost tea or the compost or compost extract and the compost?
Well, the compost extract is just giving the life to the plant in order to, you know, make that interaction or that exchange between the, exudates. Yeah. The exudates and then whatever minerals the plants or the bacteria and the fungi are picking up. The compost tea though, the bacteria and the fungi produce their own glues in that process, and they stick to the surface of the soil or the plants themselves instead of soaking into where the roots are.
Right. So what's the disadvantage of using a compost tea on the soil?
Well, is that it's not going to soak in.
Right. Those organisms, like William said, when you make a compost tea, you're reproducing those organisms over a period of time. And the idea is to get them, as they're reproducing, they create a very, very sticky sort of substance. And when you spray it on your foliar spray, because not only do these plants, all of your plants, no matter the plant, produces exudates, it's like no different from you exhaling or you defecating. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get disgusting, but that's basically what the tree's doing, or what the flower or plant, whatever it's doing.
Or sweating.
Or anything like that. Anything that comes out of you, that's basically an exudate. Well, it does the same exact thing on the leaf surfaces. So when you spray that stuff on there, all those sites, now in the past we've taken milk, organic milk, and we've mixed it 50-50 with water, and we would spray it all over our trees. And so the beneficial fungi and bacteria and stuff would basically occupy those spikes. But this is another, almost certainly more effective way of doing it, because we're getting massive coverage on these trees when we spray the tea on there. So all of any potential...
And the diversity of bacteria.
Exactly. Yeah. And any potential infection site is already occupied by our friendlies. So we get it so much on there. You want to get the underside of the leaf if you can. You want to get the overside. And the idea is to create an area, an impenetrable fortress that your enemies can't get in. So we're using the extracts to get it below ground, where all those beneficial bacteria, where, like William said, the exudates from your plant are shooting out things that are beneficial to the bacteria, also to the fungi.
Yeah.
Well, this whole soil food web down in there consists of, you know, protozoa, nematodes, arthropods. And when the nematode, bacterial feeding nematode, eats a bacterium, there is nothing more stored with power and life on this planet than bacteria. So the guts of all these animals that eat the bacteria can't handle it. So they got to poop it out.
Yeah.
And it's in very close proximity to the roots of your trees. So your trees are like, hey, thanks a lot. Well, the fungi, they're getting, and the bacteria, in order for them to get the exudates from the trees and the plants or whatever you got out there, they're given a shopping list by this tree. And this tree is saying, okay, for me to feed you, I'm going to need this stuff. So they basically go out and get it and then provide it. So it's a beautiful symbiosis. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we've been trying to say for years. For years. You don't need to put on all this junk from the store. You just need to seed to your soil. And that's why we're getting additional training, which is only expanding what we already know from our permaculture design. I mean, son, I mean, where do you feel like your learning has expanded to based on what you already knew? What do you feel like you know now?
I think it confirms a lot of the methods that we've taught before in permaculture or have been taught before in permaculture. And now we can expedite those methods, I think.
Right. We would always get to the same place using our natural methods, or you could even say slower. But now we can kick up and really, I mean, like take for example out there, we did the experiment spraying it on those sweet potatoes out there that weren't doing anything. You see them lately?
Yeah. Well, I saw that video. I haven't seen it in person yet, but...
That was on Patreon, right? That video?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, that was on Patreon. But it's just it gives you for sure reasons as to why certain things work. Like what used to be a 1 to 5 year transition for a commercial farm can now be done in a season. You know what I mean?
Well, it can even be done sooner. I mean,
It can be done like in a season. That's the soonest they can probably do it.
Yeah, you can see massive changes there, but I don't think it's wise to dismiss. I think it's actually foolish to dismiss what we already do, like adding mulch and adding all these other things. Mm-hmm. It's only going to expand it on a level. Folks, we got 2-year-old trees out here producing fruit, like this peach right here at the edge of the house.
Yep.
This thing is 2 years old, and it's as tall as a 5-year-old, and that was using our old methods.
Yeah. And that wasn't even using any of the stuff we just recently learned. The only stuff we've applied that on was the comfrey boxes in front of the high tunnel and the sweet potato beds and the raised bed so far.
Right.
And that's it. Now, and it hasn't even been a full season yet.
Right. Now that tee, back to the tee, it's a little trickier to make because you got to play with your area and figure out how much food you're putting in there. You only need like maybe a pound or two. Like I'm making right now, I got 25 gallons going right now. And we got a special bubbler that's designed to do exactly to extract those organisms. Well, you got to put food in there to have them reproduce. So in our case, we've used a little bit of humic acid along with
kelp.
Now you could use oatmeal or whatever. So I'm playing around with it. Yesterday I made a batch, first time out. Now there's a danger that your organisms grow so fast that they use up all the oxygen, then it goes anaerobic, then it's no good.
Right.
So folks, you're going to have to experiment with a lot of this stuff. I know a lot of folks don't want to hear that. When you make a compost pile, you may get it wrong. Do you have any idea how many times I had to try to make risotto before I got it right?
Yep. I remember. Yeah, I remember that. Iced tea, jalapeno poppers. Yeah, yep. There were a few things.
There are things that you have got to be obsessive about. And making compost should be one of them, especially when you consider what's going on in this world. Hey, before we move on, I want to give a happy shout out to Betty for her 60th birthday. She's one of the listeners out there. Her husband got with me a while ago. So thank you so much for checking it out, Betty.
Yeah, you know how long that's been on the calendar, y'all?
Yeah.
Betty's 60th birthday.
Yeah. So I had to get that done. And another little side note, son, I basically silenced all my texts.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was trying to text you yesterday.
It doesn't mean it doesn't go through. It just mean I'm not being bothered by it.
Yeah, Dad, I'm trying to tell you flight information.
Yeah, well, sorry. My bad. Unless I look down there, I'm not going to be notified. It's just gotten, you know, you got to be real careful about some of these things. I've been resolving myself to get away from my phones like my man Ike up here in Pennsylvania. And I'm finding myself, people kind of, they send texts. They don't realize it. You know, there's other people sending texts too.
Yeah.
And I really do not have the time to examine every text. And folks, a lot of you are sending emails. It's getting to the point the show's becoming popular and I can't necessarily respond to all of them, but do know that I read them. And some of them we're going to actually pull on to the show. But if I don't get back to you, it's just I don't have the bandwidth, especially when you send five paragraph texts. Emails,
yeah.
I just can't do all that. I can't spend 5 minutes reading everybody's text, or I just can't do it. So I have this very narrow window, and that narrow window is about 3 hours. If I can't get to the text in that time, it ain't getting got to, if that even makes sense.
It ain't getting got to.
All right, so that's another little thing. Pulling myself as much as I can away from electronics and reading Joel's book. You know, it's one of those things where he banishes anybody who's out doing work on his property with those earbuds. That's something I stopped. You got to get, just like I said, you can't get a charitable view of the world around you. Well, you can't fully observe. Unless I'm out there running that weed eater, it's coming out of my ears. I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to spend time memorizing my Bible verses audibly, memorizing all these other things that I need to get done. And those earbuds are coming out of my, when I'm outside working, unless I'm running that weed eater, they're coming out completely. So that's another little thing I've added in there. In addition to all the other things that I'm doing right now, text messages are not at the top of my list. And emails, like I said, I appreciate you reaching out. I really do, folks. But understand that I have limited bandwidth because I'm literally, unlike the other YouTube channels out there, and I'm casting a wide net here. Some of the very, very popular ones, the ones that have a high response or people that are, they're basically doing that as a living. There's a lot of them out there that don't actually do this work. I'm not going to say who they are, but they don't. And son, you know I'm right.
Right. They hire out the work.
They hire out the work. They don't tell you that. We literally do the work. And if we ever get to the point where I got to hire it out, then YouTube's going to be there. I mean, I'm not saying that in time, as we grow, I wouldn't hire hands.
But if
I'm not physically doing the work, my YouTube career is done.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but like, I wouldn't say the
YouTube. I'll be honest about it.
Right. I wouldn't say the YouTube career has to end. I would say, hey, y'all, we hired somebody. You know what I mean? But that's also honest and also helpful to other people. Like, oh, okay. So I can expect at this stage, I'm going to need to start thinking about another hand. or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that should be hidden. It's something that should be, like, if your farm's doing so well where you have to hire people, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. But at the same time, if you got nannies out there that you don't tell anybody about,
right,
and you got all these other people out there, it creates a false illusion of what it takes to actually do this life. Because sadly, people have reached out and saying, well, how do they do all this stuff? Well, look, the real truth of it is there's a lot of them out there that got entire armies, so to speak, of people actually doing the work. They show up for a photo op. We ain't that. And if we ever get to that point, and honestly, let's be honest here, YouTube ain't exactly promoting us. We can't make a living from YouTube. There are people that do. We just ain't that. Based on what I say and based on what we do, we get really, really suppressed. Not complaining about it because I ain't changing nothing. It's just, you know, we just have to make money in other ways. I do things on the side to make money, but I don't spend a lot of time talking about it because there are too many open doors for people to try to ruin our lives. So I don't tell you every single way I make money, and that is done strategically. Some of it is off farm. Some of it is doing different things that I ain't telling nobody about unless I'm really close to you. Because of what I say, at any day they could pull a plug.
Yeah.
And they almost certainly will to some of us out there. And those who want to be milquetoast or...
Yeah. And on that note, if you need in-person consultations, email permapasturesfarm@gmail.com.
Yeah, so William's back in the game again.
Yep.
And like I said, I ain't saying there is absolutely nothing wrong with making a living from YouTube. I think to put all your eggs in that one basket is a little foolish. So there are those of us, people I have conversations with, that recognize that there is a real danger of finding yourself, and this is part of the topic today.
Well,
you're going to find yourself on that YouTube plantation, but we'll cover more of it in the main topic.
Well, anything, even if YouTube wasn't... censoring or anything like that, even if they weren't like suppressing anybody, it's still not a good idea to put all your eggs in something that's based on trends.
We'll cover that a little bit more in the main topic. Want to remind y'all, this weekend coming up, Heritage Life Skills Conference, that is going to be going on right here. I'm going to be there. William Fortune's going to be there. Yeah. I guess we're going to plan on setting up a booth if we can manage it. We just got so many doggone irons in the fire right now. Hopefully we can do that. That's going to be July 21st through the 23rd. And I'm going to be teaching.
That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And you remember the name of that little town, man?
Waynesville.
Man, it is a really neat, cool little town. A lot of cool places to eat. And honestly, any opportunity I get to be in the same room as William Forston, there is no way I'm passing that up. And I'm curious to see what he's going to have to say about what's going on right now. Also on down the road, y'all, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th, doing a fundraiser. I mean, everybody is aware of Sound of Freedom right now. There's some disagreements going on about this and that. But remember, the most important thing that's going on with that movie is now, for the first time ever, and we've been champions of this since we had a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Other people are starting to catch on, and I'm thankful for that in a massive way. And that movie has been the catalyst to make it so. But there's other organizations out there like Veterans for Child Rescue going to help raise money for them with the VIP dinner that's happening at Kentucky Sustainable Living. Be there, be square. Looking forward in a massive way to see so many people out there. And looking forward to raising a lot of money for Vets for Child Rescue.
I've noticed two things with the people that are criticizing Sound of Freedom. I've noticed two different types of criticism from it. A, it's all conspiracy theory, lie, and all that stuff. And then B, the ones who weren't mad, or the ones who were pissed that it was like not every single little detail was included in this video. And in that case, it seems like a lot of them, and it seems to be some homestead channels as well that are like just talking about it just to get their names out there. And they're saying like why I can't support Sound of Freedom and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Why I can't support Sound of Freedom. And it has like, yeah, it's just like, did the message get out? Are people aware of child trafficking that weren't previously aware of it.
Yeah, you know,
like,
what
was the goal? I think the goal has been made. It was the most popular video, most popular movie over whatever Tom Cruise
Indiana
movie
Jones.
Was out. Yeah.
Indiana Jones. I mean, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm a massive fan, but I ain't giving Disney my money because I know they're behind it. If I was going to ever watch it, I would go buy a ticket for Sound of Freedom and then go in the theater to go watch Indiana Jones. That's the only way I'd roll and see it. But look, I understand there are concerns. There might be concerns. I don't know this for sure. But what you're saying there, son, at the end of the day, you know, am I going to be upset that, you know what, we've been on this child trafficking thing from the time we began a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Since before then, really. And I'm not going to say, well, I'm glad all of y'all caught on. That's
the point of view it seems like it's coming from. It's like, oh, I've been talking about this forever, but and I've had all my facts right, but these people, like, didn't, yeah.
Look, there may be concerns. At the end of the day, you know, I don't know everything there is to know about Caviezel. I don't know everything there is to know about Mel Gibson. What I do know, this is what I do know. This movie has now, I have been praying every single night, y'all. I get on my knees and I pray with my wife. And in that prayer, I can promise you, morning and at night, I'm on my knees, and here's what I ask the Lord. Lord, I pray that you bring these people to justice and bring these children to safety. And if Sound of Freedom is a way to get on the lips, what is going on with these kids? And like I said, like when I talked to Seth Holthouse, if I were making that movie, yeah, it might be a little bit different because I'd be pointing the finger on all the Americans that are in this. But you need a way to wet the beak,
exactly,
of all the other people out there. Is it more milquetoast than something I would have produced? Possibly. But there are some nasty, powerful things in there that you can't help but raise your eyebrow about.
And it's like you can't make it so honest and all that where it's off-putting to everybody.
You see
what I'm saying?
Exactly. You can't have the soccer mom because you'll have the Hotel Rwanda effect.
Yeah.
This is what they said in the Hotel Rwanda. The one of the Africans out there, it may have been Don Cheadle who played the part in the movie Hotel Rwanda. He's like, dude, you got to get this. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically you have got to get this information out. You got to tell the American public. He says, yeah, the problem with the American public, and this is Joaquin Phoenix's character, I believe. He says, here's the problem with the American public. They're going to sit down, they're going to get this, and they're going to hear it on the 5 o'clock news, and they're going to say to each other, oh, dear, that is so awful. Can you pass the mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
That's exactly how it'll go. And that's exactly what I'm afraid of that will happen with this movie, is that people are going to say, oh, gee, that's really awful. Well, it's happening over there. Oh, it's happening in America. Can you pass the mashed potatoes? That's what I'm afraid of, is that we live in this. We are the number one producer. We are the number one consumer. And what scares me, I want to keep this momentum going, but that's actually my good news section, son. So we'll just drift on into that. I'll start with the good news first. Sound of Freedom is number one. It ain't perfect, but find me anything close that's ever hit the movie theaters. Find me anything close that had child sex trafficking on the lips of people other than ourselves.
Here's another good news segment, is that every airport that we went to, every international airport we were at this over the weekend, there were paper signs saying, here's the signs of human trafficking and stuff like that. Or
yeah,
be aware of the signs.
That was already in there.
I've never seen it. And then if you saw how like low budget it was, I don't think it was.
Yeah, but
think it was airport. It looked as if it was like a ground roots thing.
It has been in there for a long time. But you know the beauty about it? It's like buying a car. And you don't notice all the other cars that are just like it until you buy one.
Yeah.
So I've always
noticed those though. Like
I've
even
always,
in Walmart and stuff like that, I've always stopped and looked at those.
In the last couple of times I flew, I saw it everywhere. I think you're in, and I'm glad because they've always been in airports. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Half the people running through this airport are probably trafficked. So, or half the kids anyway. So what I'm hoping is even though that's been in all the airports, now all of a sudden folks are going to ding, 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 ding.
Yep.
Now when they see a, they're going to see things. And now folks, I'm hoping are going, their spidey senses are going to be a little more alert. And I'm hoping it actually happens. I'm hoping and praying that this depravity is removed from this planet. It's the most insidious thing there is, and most of us could not care less. That's why anybody back when I was still on my tools, they would come up with these jokes. You know, guys come up with jokes from time to time. Whenever there was some pedophile joke, I didn't play. I'm like, dude, what are you thinking? You think this is funny? Believe me, they stopped it. They knew to never breathe anything around me because they knew you're about 2 seconds away from a 5-minute flurry of fists. If you say one more thing you think is funny about kids being raped.
And it's always the guys that should be the last ones making the doggone joke, any kind of joke.
Well, just know, I mean, I'm at the point right now that if anybody does that in my presence, just send my mail to the county jail. I'm not even going to give any warnings. Yes, I know it seems a contradiction for a person that lives by the... For a person, I'm not violent. I live by the non-aggression principle. There's a difference. But I don't know that I'm at the point anymore that I can muster the self-control to basically not put somebody's teeth down their throat. I'm not even going to play. If anybody, I mean, I'm not around those people these days, but if it happens, it's going to take, I mean, just go ahead and send my mail to the county jail because they're going to cart me away or I'm going to get out of there. I don't know what's going to happen, but anybody that pulls that crap with me, I'm beyond any degree of tolerance, beyond it. So let's go into the bad news. The good news, look, that was actually on my good news section, right, son. Sound of Freedom is number one. It may have its issues. All I know is that this is on the lips.
Well, another thing I was going to say about Sound of Freedom is that one thing that everybody has in common that was associated with the video, associated with the movie, is that they're all people. They probably had some mistakes along the way. They're all flawed people. They probably aren't going to include every aspect of the message that everybody's wanting to see. Like, there are now people aware of child trafficking that previously weren't aware of it.
Yeah, that's what's more astounding in all this. And I think it got just enough into the weeds to where the soccer mom ain't going to walk out. I remember.
But also, whenever they scroll past that video that explains what's actually happening, the full process, it's not a completely foreign topic to them.
I remember when I took you, I didn't know what the movie was all about. You were in high school or later. We went to go see that movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yep. And I remember there's this part with pedophilia in that movie. I said, raise up. We're rolling out of here.
Yep.
And then I looked, you could see the people that were in that audience. And I walked out of that theater furious, absolutely furious. And what irked me even more is as I'm looking at the faces of all the people that are being, their reflection is off that screen. These are people that are older than me that are sitting there in this movie theater. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. This
victim porn. That's what it is.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I walked out of there and I was so appalled. Not only that was that in the movie, but I mean, I don't care if the girl got revenge. I don't care what happened. Somebody had to tell me about that. I ain't sticking around putting that garbage in my brain. And so the fact that we were the only ones to walk out of that movie, that's something altogether. Son, let's move on to the bad news, and then we'll kick into the other good news thing. So the good news segment was Sound of Freedom's number one. Oil reserves, I just accidentally knocked the article right off my doggone computer. But strategic oil reserves are like the lowest ever. We are at the bottom of the barrel. Remember, strategic oil reserves. Not only is every single, folks, I try to give you good news, bad news, but I got to be honest here. Okay, croplands are being decimated on purpose all through the Midwest, all throughout the country. Weather is being fiddled with, Whether you want to believe it or not, go check out the work of Dane Wigington. He creates unimpeachable sources, and it's happening. We have a military where all the good people have largely gotten out. Or if they did get the jab, they faked the paperwork. So there's just a few ones in there just counting the dates. I know some. Then you throw this on top of it. That strategic oil reserve, it is at the bottom of the barrel. Do you see a pattern emerging here? Do you feel like you ought to be preparing? Look, even people like Dan Bongino, not exactly, and I brought this up in the video, not exactly known to be a prepper out there, and he is pleading with his people to get prepared. Yeah. Something is happening. All these things, all these data points are unfolding, and right now, nobody's buying gold and silver. Very few people, like Mike Adams was talking about, they're going to wait until the calamity at this point unfolds. Then you're going to go buy your preparedness stuff. This is why I teamed up with Heaven's Harvest, y'all. I'm not trying to sell stuff. I don't need the money. I mean, like I said, I make money other ways. This other stuff is, and you know, with inflation being what it is, we're finding other ways to make money. Not, like I said, I'm not going to tell you about all of them, but we are seeking other ways that have zero to do with farming that make money. And it ain't that hard to do because things are getting tight even here at the farm all the way around. Or we're providing things that are going to help you feed yourself, whether it's the comfrey. It's going to help feed your animals. It's going to help take care of you. Bone softs, you know, it's not a panacea. It doesn't work. I don't say put this stuff on and it'll never happen. I'm just saying it's the best thing you can buy. There are exceptions. Go out there, get yourself your storable food. Get yourself prepared. The dollar is on the brink. Look, folks, I don't mean to keep things dark here, but you got to be made aware. This stuff is happening. It's unfolding, and everybody is sleepwalking into their dusty death. And nobody seems to care. Like I always say, wake up, smell the corruption, fall asleep drinking the hemlock. So the other good news, another great article out here. This one came from Natural News. And here's the title of it. Check this out, son. Amish children don't get cancer, diabetes, autism. Study finds while mainstream Americans are sick and dying in record numbers.
I bet they don't get ADHD either.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah, Amish kids.
How about that? I could go into the article, give you all the what fors and what nots, but it's right there in your face. I mean, good night, y'all. Can you get any more? I mean, I don't even need to dig into it. Look at their lifestyle. They're not getting jabbed up. They're not eating that crap under plastic.
It also shows that we're a part of like a sick system. The Amish people are outside of that system, and they have very few health issues. We're a part of the system, and we have all kinds of health issues.
Well, like that Indian doctor once said, and I think he said it perfectly, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. Yeah, this prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Yeah, we don't need any more of those. All right, so we'll get into the main topic here, y'all. Believe it or not, there was a guy that hit me up on Patreon, and Jeremy, I believe his name is. I'm not looking at it right now, so I think it's Jeremy. And he ain't the first, whether it's starting a YouTube channel or starting a podcast. We kind of hit on it from the beginning. Let me just tell you right off, if you think you're going to make money at this, whether it's a podcast or whether it's a YouTube channel, the odds are very slim, especially when you stay within a certain genre. Whenever you stay within a certain, like we talk about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. There are other people out there that pick something like it's a podcast dealing with, let's say, Asheville, or and they regret that because you're boxed in. If you're not interested in Asheville, you're not necessarily going to find that podcast. Or you're going to find one that deals with a particular state. Let's say, hey, life in North Carolina.
Right.
Or something with Georgia. Well, that's going to box you in. You want to cast a wide net. And Tony from the Confessionals actually kind of talks about that in the interview I do with him. It's coming out tomorrow. And I think it's a very worthwhile interview. Right off the bat, if you think you're going to start a YouTube channel, you think you're going, I'm going to cast some aspersions out there, and maybe you might see through some of them. Before I get into that, y'all remember EMP Shield, promo code PERMA, you get $50 off. I forgot to do that at the beginning of the segment. So anyway, got a link down below, promo code PERMA. Don't need to provide any of the reasons why you might want to need one. So back to that. If you're getting into this with the sole purpose of making money, you're going to compromise things right off. And there are YouTube channels out there that started off trying to do good work in terms of homesteading, and they did. Yeah. Then all of a sudden they found out, gee, if I do this video, maybe it started out as an accident. Get these five things, and they have this, they get this thumbnail, and they put their hand up, like the number five. Get these five things for the coming collapse. They know the algorithms are set up on YouTube to promote that video. They know that if it bleeds, it leads. If they can sell fear, now all of a sudden you have some of these folks that literally went from doing legitimate homestead videos. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd when they found out.
Well, it's one thing if you put out a video like that. Like, those are helpful videos. Like, hey, here's five things you might not have thought of to prepare for or whatever. But it's completely different if before you were showing how to grow tomatoes and now you're over here only showing people what they can purchase through your links to survive this upcoming apocalypse.
Exactly. So they basically made that transition because they wanted to be YouTube stars. And they sold themselves out. So anybody that was online that recognized from the beginning they might have had a little bit of integrity, they've jumped off. And I have. Yeah. And I could give you a long list of people that started out really good and either their finances got ahead of them and they're thinking, oh, shoot, I got to put butts in seats, man. I'm not making money on YouTube. They've done it for that reason. And they literally sold their souls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you have to say about people that are looking into starting a YouTube channel, maybe some of the do's and don'ts, and we'll get into the podcast as well.
I mean, the most important thing if you're trying to grow a channel is to just be consistent with your uploads. Like, you can't go a month without uploading anything. You can't just randomly go silent and then keep doing that over and over again. You need to have times whenever you upload where people can expect your videos. And that can change. Like, let's say you start your YouTube channel and you upload every Monday and Wednesday, and then you get like 6 months into it and you realize that schedule doesn't work for you. You can change. It's just you need to be consistently putting out content.
And the content, I would also say, you can put out fluff if you want to. I mean, we have a genre. We have a shtick that, you know, anybody basically right now who's in the here's how you grow food kind of content, and that's exclusively what they do, the how-to part of it, you're not going to get as much hay, number one, because a lot of people out there are watching for very different reasons.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. So you're not going to get everybody out there. But right now we have record numbers getting into the homesteading space, and we started a channel before that happened. Part of it being the inflation. Part of it, they see what's going on. Part of it is, I mean, there's a whole constellation of reasons we could probably cite out there for why people are getting into it. But if you think you're going to get into this to make money, I got other news for you. Especially, I mean, like I said, depends on if your ethics allow you to go out there and fear monger. Especially the ones that really get me are the ones that have zero experience in survival settings or a military background, maybe like this one short I saw the other day, it popped up in my feed. The guy says the one area where so many of you preppers, you go out there, you got the gear, you got the backpack, you got this, but you can't walk a mile.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a very good point.
Or you can't go a day without food. your fitness is on point. Folks, that's why I did the strategic and tactical fasting.
Your bug out bag does you no good if you can't physically bug out.
Or even without that bag, if you can't, there was that guy I was watching it a while ago. Was it like one of them Alaska shows? It was years ago. And he said, you know what? You should be able to walk 5 miles.
Yeah, you should be able to. Yeah.
You should. I mean, it's not uncommon for a soldier to go on a ruck march for 25 miles, and you do it in about 8 hours, or to go on a 12-miler, and you got to do it under 3. Believe me, walking with whatever pack on your back and doing it under 3 hours, imagine walking as fast as you can possibly go without running. That is booking, and that's with a lot of weight on your back, up and down, up and down, up and down. And you got to do it. There's no two ways about it. So in terms of all these people, I know I digressed a little bit there, but I got to point out that all of these people, tell me how your experience as an undertaker qualifies you to know anything about survival. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole lot of fakes out there. There's a lot of people in this farming thing that, son, you've been to one of them where it was a literal.
Oh yeah. Literal feedlot. Like, yeah, there was no
dump.
Yeah, I drove past it thinking, surely this ain't the one came to come see. But, yeah, it's.
And some of these people got 500,000 subscribers.
Right.
But hey, they're fakes.
Yeah, back on topic. The topic of the video is if you're wanting to start, like, a podcast or a YouTube channel, I think an important thing is you don't need fancy equipment. Like, we bought a fancy camera for this podcast, actually. And we're back on iPhone now. We're recording on an iPhone. We record all of our YouTube videos on iPhone. Now, the expensive camera looks better for interviews and stuff like that.
Makes you more professional.
Right, yeah. It's different whenever you pull out your phone, like, all right, let's do this interview.
So if, you know, like this weekend with this, we get an opportunity to go out there, maybe instead of using the phone, we would probably select to use that camera to do any interviews or anything like that. So it all comes down, when you get down to brass tacks, you don't need much tech. Son, what do they need in terms of editing?
In terms of editing, all of the editing software we use has come with the computer. Like GarageBand, we use that for the podcast. iMovie, we use that for the YouTube channel. As far as the podcasts go, the thing that I would spend some money on are the mics. Having now heard what good mics sound like, it's real easy to spot like the bad cheap mics now.
Do we have good mics?
Yeah, we have good mics. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. These are the SM7B mics. These are the ones that Michael Jackson apparently recorded Thriller with.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's wow.
Their claim to fame, apparently. But if you look at a lot of the podcasts, I think Joe Rogan uses these, but they're not anywhere near as expensive as you're thinking. Like whenever you hear Joe Rogan uses them, they're not like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but you know, when you get down as far as topics, for us y'all, I know a lot of YouTubers that struggle with trying to come up with new content. It's not hard at all for us. I mean, we're always doing something different every single day. It's one of the beauties about this life. Yeah, there are those things that are routine.
Yeah.
There are those things that are very rhythmic. Those things never go away. But when you have a permaculture farm and you have so many different irons in the fire, there's always some experiment going on. There's always some thing going on. And right now, there's always a harvest going on.
Yeah.
There's always something happening. So we don't necessarily struggle for content. But
also on that same note, everything is like rhythmic to an extent and, you know, kind of repetitive. But there's also always new people joining in this field,
right,
this space.
So you got to cover some of those old things, but maybe put a twist on it. So you're not boring the people that have been with you. And you also don't want to look as if, I mean, I don't have a problem coming up with content. If anything, it's beating back. We got so much content. We overflow it over on Patreon. So,
and Instagram.
Yeah, and Instagram. So we have no shortage of content. Now, getting to the podcast. Look, this, I know for a lot of people out there, I know a lot of folks listen to us. And we thank you for that.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking about doing a podcast, you know, I do have a little bit of a background in broadcasting. You want to first get a little bit good at your delivery. Try to do it in a way that doesn't copy everybody else. Think about every other farm podcast out there. Starts off with country music or banjo or something like that. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's exactly why I didn't want to do it that way. Or if it's on a permaculture kind of podcast, they sound very effeminate, and he's going to come across like this, and they're going to speak very in low tones. They're going to sound like an NPR voice. Man, forget a bunch of that, man. I'm going to put some bass in my voice because this is how we roll, baby. And honestly, the authenticity, I'm not pretending to be somebody I'm not. If anything, in this podcast, I'm able to be the real me. And that really shines through. Now, are there certain things I have to put an emphasis on? Obviously. If you don't do that, it's like Don King said about boxing. They asked him why he was so successful. And he said because he was the first man to recognize that when you have a boxing match, if you don't tell a story, if you don't let them have a background, if you don't make an event out of it, then all you got is two fools beating the crap out of each other. He said it a little bit differently, but I'm sure you can read between the lines. Same thing with a podcast. Learn how to storytell. Learn, which I'm learning to do a little bit better. Because you can use that story, you can use that comedy to say things that ordinarily you couldn't say. Especially with comedy, you can wrap very uncomfortable things in there, and I don't use it enough. Because honestly, y'all, we do have a natural comedy in this room when we choose to use it. We don't use it often enough. Because you can deliver things, you can take a very uncomfortable thing, wrap it in comedy, and drive on with it. That's what comics are really, really good at doing.
Yeah, I would agree.
But find out what you want to do. Don't sell out your ethics. Don't expect people to beat down. And then honestly, seriously, the first one you need to do, if you're thinking about a podcast, you need to be doing it for yourself. Because honestly, this is also a level of catharsis. It's very cathartic for me. I can get the things off my chest that I can't ordinarily say or the people around me are sick of hearing. It needs to be therapeutic to you to be able to do and say these things. It needs to be a point in where you don't care about, like Rush Limbaugh, I remember him talking about this, that you have got to be able to put on a 3-hour show without caring whether or not another human being is listening to you. That's one of the hardest things to get away from in terrestrial radio because you know somebody's listening to you. The second I didn't care is the second I got good at it. Jack Spearco, probably one of the only people I know out there outside of Rush Limbaugh that can literally do a 3-hour monologue on any topic and not lose your attention one time.
Yeah. That's a skill.
There is also not one other person I know that can do that.
But also, you don't have to be able to do that in order to start a YouTube channel or a podcast.
No, you don't.
No, a lot of that can be cleaned up and fixed in editing if you wanted to and spend more time in editing. But I don't think, the inability to do that should discourage you from starting one. Because you're going to eventually develop like a better speaking skill, stuff like that. And, you're going to figure out, you're going to dial more into what you're wanting to talk about.
And it could be on your hobby. Think about your hobbies. It could be, I don't care what it is you're into. There is at least a handful of other people out there. Maybe use it as a means like we did with YouTube. It wasn't to get a bunch of subscribers. Same thing with a podcast. It's to get the right people.
Right.
It's to find out where your tribe is because honestly, we live very isolated. And I can live vicariously through some of your stories. And when we go to these conferences, meet you, we meet each other. I don't in any way view myself as any kind of celebrity. And I honestly really dislike it when people treat me that way.
Yeah.
I don't like, I mean, when people, it is very disquieting to me when somebody wants to take a picture with me because I don't understand why. I really don't. I am not. Fantastic. I'm a hard worker. That's the only claim to fame that I will own. I don't claim to be talented at this or that. All I know is I outwork nearly everybody. If I got a superpower, that's what it is. And I feel weird when people come up, I don't get it, man. I don't know why you want a picture with me. But if I feel weird when that happens. And, you know, I try to grin and bear it, but nobody's special. And I don't like to be treated like I am. So one cool thing about this is that you find your tribe, you find out, and you feel a little less alone in this world. So those are some of the tricks, y'all. Maybe we can cover a part two in this in the future. But when we get back, we're going to drop into your Q&A. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster before I hit the beach. All right, welcome back. This is portion of the episode brought to you by Harvest Right Freeze Dryers. We got some listed down below. Some before I want to make sure I point this out also in terms of the podcast and stuff along that line. Folks, just we can't get enough of our own content out there. People are now starting to jettison the mainstream media. Those that are typically over the age of 50 are always going to watch Hannity and think he's telling them the truth.
Right.
You're going to watch Rachel Maddow think she's telling you the truth. They're all liars. And the more, okay, let's say you're a news junkie and you can take that information, distill it down. Maybe you change, but don't do what everybody else is doing. Do something differently. We're the only ones doing a farm podcast. Now, there's at least one out there that's kind of copying the format, but I'm welcome it. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Do your own thing. I mean, you know, yeah, we were the first to use this kind of format, but find your own format. Maybe you don't have sessions that are an hour long. Maybe you do it in 20 minutes. And I will say one last thing on that score is the only reason we're able to do this podcast is to do it as a live format. If we had to edit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If it required the level of editing that Tony and them put in at like the confessionals, I don't know that this wouldn't be twice a week.
Well, yeah.
I can tell you that.
We couldn't. Yeah. We couldn't do twice a week. We couldn't get other people on there. We have to treat this like it's a live broadcast. So we can't sit here and say, oh, shoot, cut, stop, let's go back.
But that's another cool thing about the YouTube channel and the podcast is that you can put in, it's not like you're at this TV station or whatever and there's just a set way of doing things no matter what.
Right.
You can do this however fits you the best.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can spend days on editing and have this highly produced video if you want to, if that's the route you want to go, or you can not go that route. It all depends on what you have available.
Yeah, so we'll probably cover more of this in the future because, frankly, we do need a lot more content creators out there that are just honest.
Yeah.
Go ahead, son.
Got one from Snow Farms. Okay. Don't worry, Billy. What y'all are doing is contagious. I've listened to everything that you have said about getting, and I've... Well, hold on. I've listened to everything that you have said about getting, and I think she's saying I've read the book Fast Like a Girl. I'm planning on implementing fasting because I really like it. It will improve my life, which will also help my family as well. Keep spreading the message. Also, thank you for the awesome coaster for the 100th episode. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag fast for better health.
Well, thank you, and thanks everybody else out there that listen. And honestly, real shout out to all you folks that are passing it on. I know that this isn't the typical milk toast permaculture podcast or farm podcast. It's not that. And it's not the other end of the spectrum where you're going to hear profanity coming out of my mouth. It ain't going to happen. I think I can be, that's another thing. I really believe I can be creative. I can be funny. I can be thought provoking and I can do it all without using anything. What I can do it all without
using crutches. We want your kids to be pimps too.
That's right. Permaculture is my passion. So Spencer out there, I'm not sure I can get to all this, but basically he's the one back there mentioned the triplets, and he wanted to offer congratulations out there. And he says, we're not asking for medical advice or anything in nature, but we're basically wondering, what would anybody do? I don't know that we're capable of answering this. If I get the gist of the question here, is for people that are going to be nursing, what do they do? You know, if you can't get formula, you know, you better be thinking about plan Bs about how to do that.
there's that goat milk recipe that Ted and Austin Brower, I think they have on their website. But also, whenever we announced on the YouTube channel that we were having a baby, some people commented getting, there was a specific term that they used, but it was basically like a milkmaid in the form of a goat.
Well, like he was talking about, they got triplets, but mom's only got a couple, you know? And so that could be, so Octomom, boy. Yeah, I don't know what she went through, but it must have been weird.
I don't think they were breastfeeding, Dad. I got one from Aeon on the Fountain app, and he says maybe have a membership like the Survival Podcast.
Thought about doing that, but here's what we're looking at trying or considering. Look, I know folks are hurting all the way around these days, and I am trying to make a living and at the same time offer all the value anybody could ever ask for, and at the same time make it affordable.
Yeah.
So, and at the same time not be suppressed. So one of the ideas that we've kind of bounced around and we're still considering it is doing something that's a very affordable subscription thing, possibly maybe on what's that one, Locals,
but
or maybe in we host our own platform.
So that's what I've been kind of thinking about, is hosting our own platform. Since we have two different, like we have a YouTube channel and we have a podcast, I think doing our own platform would be better, because right now...
And Patreon.
Well, yeah, but so Patreon would go away, because, okay, so Patreon right now is really just supplemental to our YouTube channel. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that format could be supplemental to both the Pimpcast and the YouTube channel. Like we could have our own hosted version of Patreon that has, you know, both of those.
Well, we got a new website being in the works right now, and we're going to see what's available out there. Thing is, I'm trying to offer as much value and not cost anybody money. And I know the times we're in. I mean, right now, for example, Asheville is a place where it's a destination people go for vacation.
Yeah.
And I know people that are in the restaurant business, and they know everybody else in the restaurant business, and some of these folks are going to have to shut their doors.
Yeah.
Because things are that tight, or they go in and get a couple appetizers and they're out the door. So Ian started following your YouTube a while ago. While he was deployed. Well, thank you so much for your service. Love the Pimpcast, and it's been a nice break from all the ultra woke podcasts I was listening to when I was starting on my learning journey. Yeah, thank you so much. He says we're going to be building a chicken tractor to expand our flock, and had been. He's thinking about the Justin Rhodes type. Well, we made that version, and I think I'm pretty sure Justin's was inspired by somebody else. I can't remember his name. I want to say Elliot Coleman. But the only thing in what we've done to it to improve it for our environment is that, number one, I'm not a fan of Justin Rhodes. I'll be very honest with you. In fact, I've just flat out don't like him. And I don't care if you tell him. I think he knows. I think
that's the first time you've publicly said that.
Well, I think, judging by the way he acted the last time I was around him, I'm pretty sure he knows. I don't care if he knows. I'll tell him right to his face.
Yeah, Dad, I don't think that was ever a question. I'm just saying, I think that's the first time you've publicly said it. Well, it was never a question whether or not you liked him. It's just now everybody knows you don't like him.
All right, well, shout it from the rooftops. I don't like him, and he doesn't like me, I'm pretty sure. Whole history there. I'm not even going to get into that because we don't need any rumors flying. Look, so just to squelch that one, yeah, I don't like him. Anyway... he did come up with, if he came up with it, it is a very good, fantastic, excellent design. There are people I know out there right now not building it, right, because they don't like him either.
Yeah.
But in fact, doing the chicken tractor on steroids to do another method altogether because they don't want to give him props. And their alternative is really good. I will say that chicken tractor, his design is probably, if you got laying birds, it's fantastic. It is without a doubt the best. If you got layers, Joel Salatin's is probably the best. Justin's is right on point. And so we had to make a couple of modifications because of this terrain we live in. It'll just fly away. So we had to put spikes in the front of it.
Well, also a latch. I think that latch we added, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And an automatic door, we added that too.
The latch, oh, well, the first time we made it, the door almost blew off. You remember, that's another thing I forgot about whenever we first moved here. You remember how windy it was?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hasn't been like that recently. And also, flying back in, I think I've become kind of blind as to how hazy it is around here.
No, that just happened right before you flew back in.
Okay.
It wasn't hazy like
that.
It
looked like a doggone apocalypse coming in.
Yeah, that's called a chemtrail, son.
No. I'm talking about the smoke coming down.
No, they're calling that smoke because it was clear as a bell the day before, and then like somebody turned on the switch, all of a sudden it was hazy.
Like couldn't see mountains.
Yeah. All of a sudden it was hazy. They turned on the switch, and we saw, or at least I saw, a ton of chemtrails. I mean, they were going nuts the day before, so much so you can literally see the haze out there. But yeah, as far as that chicken tractor goes, it is an excellent design. We just modified a few things. And, you know, despite liking him or not liking him, it is an excellent design. It really is. It, like I said, we added some things to it. But unlike other people out there where we gave credit who came up with the design and demonstrated the modifications we made. So put an automatic door on it and put some spikes on it to make it stick.
Well, yeah, we also have two videos explaining exactly how we built it as well. In fact, then it was called Justin Rhodes Inspired Chicken Tractor Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah, maybe people like him would also do well to cite their sources too when they use somebody else's information.
Yeah, I'm just, for what was it, Ian? What was his name? Yeah, for his benefit, you can see how we made it and the modifications we made.
Yeah, and that's another thing, y'all. You go into podcast or YouTube business, if you use somebody else's, man, this happens more than I know.
Yeah.
Then I can, and son, you know I'm right. A lot of people out especially when you're a small channel and you start revealing things that are trade secrets, and then all of a sudden, the bigger YouTube channels find out about it, will use your stuff and not cite where they got it from. Yeah, that happens so many times, it'll blow your mind. So that's another thing to keep. If you got something, make sure you put it on there, but they will take your ideas, they will take your thoughts and not offer any attribution
to
where it came from.
I think it's also, it feels different because it's like there's something unofficial about YouTube. You know what I mean? Like if it's a movie, if it's a magazine, if it's a book or whatever, it's like official.
Well, then go out of the and at least say, if you can't remember, because I've done this before, like, hey, I got this trick from somewhere. I can't remember who I got it from.
I agree.
Don't go passing it off as your intellectual property if somebody else came up with it.
I totally agree. I just think that it doesn't cross most people's mind because it's like a almost social media platform. I think that's where it is. It's like, well, I'm just talking about it. Like it's not, I'm not like making any money from it because it's just a social media post.
Well, it's still plagiarism.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying that's where I think the breakdown is. Like, whereas if they were to do the same thing writing a book, I think they would think it would probably cross their mind more often because it's more of an official sort of media.
Well, I'm going to start calling them out when it happens. Right. No. I mean,
that's fine. That's fine. I ain't arguing.
The days of me being quiet about this and doing passive, you know, like, hey, nudge, you want to give a shout out to the person or writing to them. Those days are over. If I know you stole something, I'm going to put you on blast, nephew.
All right, got one from Susquehanna Homestead. Great show. Question about being an electrician. How hard is it to move and transfer to a different local? You have inspired me to look into becoming an IBEW electrician, but I'm planning on moving south within a few years and want to know if both goals will be compatible. Thank you.
All right, well, if you're going to move locals, you would better do it while you're an apprentice. Because when you're a journeyman, there's rules where you got to work a certain amount of time in a certain jurisdiction. And then if you work there for, I think, 2,000 hours, unless they changed, then they have to accept you in there. It's called jamming your ticket. And it will make you a very hated person in that local, depending if it's a really wormy local or not. So you want to be real careful. You want to be invited into a local. But if you're going to transfer, it's easy to do as an apprentice. So if you're going to do that, you may get started there, but that local you're trying to go to may not accept you. But your chances are much, much higher, you know, as an apprentice. So you can look into that. But then also consider, yeah, you can be an IBEW electrician right now. Also, keep in mind that unless you're going to be a straight-up worm, you may have to travel. Unless you're going to be a, what we call a shop rocket, you may have to hit the bricks. Unless you want to be a yes man, you may have to hit the road. Meaning that you may have to do what I had to do and go from local to local. You may have to go where the work's at, which means you're going to be away from the family. Unless you make other decisions out there. So I did that for a long, long time. Missed a whole lot of ball games. Missed a whole lot of things in my life. And I'm not excited to go back to it. So keep in mind those things that when you pick certain trades, unless you're working exclusively for a particular shop, you may have to be on the road quite a while.
Would you recommend he check something else out?
Well, I would recommend you do what's in your interest because you're not going to stick with it.
No, I mean, okay, so let's say he's interested in becoming an electrician. Would you recommend he go a different route?
No, no, because you're going to get the best training through the IBEW, and you're going to learn. I don't know. This used to be the case. I'm just going to be honest here.
But when I was an apprentice, also he's moving south after. So
well, that doesn't the best. I'll be honest with you. The best craftsmen I've ever seen in my life were all from Alabama. But Some of the worst people I've seen have also been in the South too. Now, I mean, out of Birmingham's local man, every single guy I knew there except for one was probably the best craftsman I'd ever seen in so many different ways. And, you know, there's a lot of great ones everywhere. So anymore, man, I don't know how a guy gets out of a 5-year apprenticeship and does not know how to bend conduit. But I see a lot of it. Last time I worked out of Asheville's local, that's exactly what it was. I had a 5th-year apprentice that couldn't bend a 90. So I don't want to stay too far on this because I know a lot of people are not into it. But, yeah, maybe we can give you some more advice in the future. All right, so Ryan's saying, always waited till winter to plant trees, but I heard you guys talking about doing it in the fall. When is it better? It all depends on where you live. And that's a really great question.
What was the question again?
Basically, the best time, he plants them in the winter, but the best time to plant them is when all the leaves are off your deciduous trees. For places like Texas, that may very well be in, January sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember there were a few times where I was thinking, like, man, are these leaves going to come off?
I know. Now, where we live here, it could be November, could be December. So you want to do it when they're dormant. And it's also through the work of Dr. Whitcomb out of Oklahoma State. You also find out that you're going to get the best benefit out of your tree by planting them as soon as the leaves come off. Because they're putting all that work into putting down their roots at a time of year where they would ordinarily do it all through the fall and winter. But for some of you, that may very well look like wintertime. So
yeah,
it all is going to change is whenever, you know, wherever you live.
Got one from Stubbs97 on the YouTube channel. Spot on. Next, y'all have to try and reach out to Dr. Stephen Greer. He wants to hear an interview from Dr. It was a comment on the Man in America interview that we put out.
I've kind of thought about that. Because I heard him in an interview with Sean Ryan, and Sean Ryan actually had another little UFO thing. Oh. And he said something that gave me pause there. I'm not going to get into it, but there was something near the end of it when Sean Ryan asked him how he was able to get on these places. And I'm not sure I buy his story.
Huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got one from the Philippine Nomad. In response to the best university ever episode. As always, great pimp cast. By the way, what headphones are y'all using and or recommend? I have to replace an old cheapo one and looking for a better set. Thanks. Well, these ain't it. these are the El Cheapo
I'm out of my
ones.
Depth here.
Yeah, so when we said like you don't have to have fancy equipment, we're serious. The headphones we have are just... I think they're cheap gaming headphones from Best Buy. Yeah, they're not very good. In fact, we have to replace them. Mine are going out right now. There's fuzz every time I'm talking. And it's not the microphones or anything like that. I really don't know. If you contact or if you look at Tony, if you go to Tony, I think he has an Amazon list. Because after we had asked, I think he had come up with an Amazon list of what you need to start your own podcast, like the equipment that he recommends to produce a really high quality audio podcast. And he has his headphone recommendation in there. But there's that. I want to move away from the over-the-ear headphones and move to the, like, earbud type ones. Because these ones, that like, your ears start sweating, all that type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, got one from Casey here from thesovereignhomestead.com.
Are they related to Sovereign Village Project?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Sovereignhomestead.com. Like the way you're rolling there.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been using the bone sauce. He says, my question is, have you trailed across or come across anything regarding using bone sauce made from ruminants, you know, excluding cows, sheep? Basically, he's got a bunch of fodder trees out there and is trying to keep them off of them. No, I mean, some people have reported that bone sauce will keep them off, like the lady in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Other people have said the bone sauce had no effect on the cows and whatnot. So I'm working on a recipe like that, that, you know, people have asked me about bear, working on a bear recipe, but I got to have a bear.
Right. Yeah.
Really don't have enough bandwidth to really expand it as far as I'd like. Maybe on down the road, I can do a little more R&D to find out what really is going to work.
Right.
Mary Lou. Yeah. I like this. She says, crazy idea. She came up, she said, what about a pig pen on steroids?
Yeah.
Well, it already exists. Excuse me. My man, Jason, over at Sow the Land, used, I think, another idea that was initially hatched from Justin Rhodes.
I think Joel Salatin.
Well, it may have been Joel Salatin, and then Justin used it.
I think it was. I think it's in his, you know, that building book that Joel has for smaller.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's located.
That may be where he got it from. Strangely enough, I don't remember hearing attribution for it, but I remember Jason ended up using it, and Jason is somebody I know and I've seen it. So basically, check out Sow the Land and their YouTube channel. Go check that out and you'll see how he did it masterfully. Raised up two pigs twice, I think, maybe more. Yeah. Raised up two pigs twice and did it in a way that was very hygienic. It can be done.
Yeah. In an awesome way. I think, well, Wu from Deadwood could have taken some notes on how to properly do it.
Yeah.
Some carbon sequestration.
Absolutely. And plus, you could be getting a whole lot out of those wood chips in terms of, compost and stuff like that. We use pig poop all the time.
Yeah.
So, hey, y'all, I know this went a little bit long today, but hey, thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.